pillows to go anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-951-8175. Use promo code USA.
President Trump saluting the annual Wounded Warrior Project Soldier Ride, the four-day bike ride that helps raise awareness about the plight of injured veterans. At the White House this morning, President Trump said the nation is grateful for the incredible sacrifices of all wounded warriors. A desperate manhunt that began over 40 years ago has ended in California.
It is the culmination of a decades-long, unrelenting investigation that's singularly focused on bringing this rapist and killer to justice.
That's Ventura County, California, D.A. Greg Totten after the arrest of a former cop who's believed to be the notorious Golden State Killer, suspected of 12 murders, 45 rapes, and over 100 burglaries across California in the 1970s and 80s. DNA evidence leading to the arrest of 72-year-old Joseph James DeAngelo of Sacramento. Remember, we're online at usaradio.com.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
You may not know his name, but if you were a kid in the 70s or 80s, you certainly know his music.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
That's Bob Dureau, who wrote most of the songs for the ABC children's show Schoolhouse Rock, which originally ran from 1973 through 1985. Dureau died this week at 94. Here he sings one of his most famous works, Conjunction, Junction, at an appearance just last year in Pennsylvania.
I got N button R. They'll get you pretty far. Take this. And
arguably tied with that one as his most well-known song from the show is I'm a Bill, which introduced kids to the nation's legislative process.
Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, you're right, there ought to be a law. Then he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill, and I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me be a law. I hope and pray that they will, but today I am still just a bill.
Again, Bob Dureau was 94. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you.
It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll ask the question, are you a business owner or a volunteer? You may not want to hear the answer to that one. I'll talk about email marketing and how to know when your messages succeed, and I'll discuss four decisions that can become costly business mistakes. It's Thursday, April 26, 2018, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and the program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do, it's time to check the weather. Currently, it's 59 beautiful degrees under sunny skies, and a high, expecting a high of 66 and a low of 46. For tomorrow, it'll be cloudy with some rain throughout the day, a high of 57 and a low of 44. For Saturday, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 67 and a low of 39. And for Sunday, it'll be cooler with sunshine mixing with some clouds and a high of 56 and a low of 39 degrees. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 157.51 to 24,241.34. The NASDAQ up 90.46 to 7,094.20. S&P 500 is up 17.31 points to 2656.80. Oil down 28 cents to $67.77 per barrel. Gold is down $6.20 to $1,316.60 an ounce. All right, well, welcome to the program. It is Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business, and I'm glad you can join me. I tripped over something as I'm preparing for a presentation that I'll get into in a minute. So the teaser to the show of Are You a Business Owner or a Volunteer really struck me a little funny when I came up with the concept, and then I started talking about this with some people you know, that will call me every now and then and talk about business. Maybe they're having a problem in their business. And I compared them and I said, do you consider yourself a business owner or a volunteer? And I gave them the criteria for each and they really didn't like that answer. So we're going to get into that in just a little bit on the program. The business quote of the week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And it comes to us today from hair care product maker as well as salon owner, beauty magnate back in the 70s and 80s. The only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. That comes to us from Vidal Sassoon. The only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. How true is that? You know, if you're not going to work, you're probably not going to have success. You're listening to the program or watching us now on Facebook Live. And, you know, I was always told that I had a face for radio, and here they go and put it out on video. So I apologize if this is upsetting your lunch in any way, having to look at me. But tell your friends to join us on the Taking Care of Business page. It's a new page on Facebook. Typically, midweek, I try to preview something that's going to be happening on the show, or if there's breaking business news, I'll try to get that out there to you as early as possible. Sometimes it may seem as if the post is more political. That's because there will be ramifications from a political decision. So I get that out to you as well. It's not to support any candidate or to confront any candidate. It's more, hey, this decision could impact us. There was a lot of talk this week about the sales tax versus the gas tax here in New Jersey, and that's still up in the air. Looks like Governor Murphy wanted to go ahead and raise the sales tax up to 7%, but he did not want to give any concessions on the gas tax. So that's more taxation. But I think there's going to be a lot of discussion on that down in Trenton over the next couple of weeks, and we'll have to wait and see what comes of that. Tangled up like a bowl of spaghetti here today. Upcoming shows next week, May 3rd, we're going to have Stacey Green in studio with us from Anderson House. She may bring one of their clients with her as well. She's going to be talking to us about Anderson House, which is a halfway house for women who are overcoming addiction recovery. And they're celebrating their 20th anniversary this year. They have a big golf outing coming up, so we want to publicize that as much as possible. Great work that the folks at Anderson House are doing. And so it'll be good to have Stacy on the program. Also on June 7th, now you've been given your homework assignment, so hopefully you've been listening and paying attention, because I told you to buy this book. It's called Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. And he's going to be joining us from Florida. He'll be calling in, and this is a book that can actually transform your business, and it's going to be part of the topic of what I talk about. Are you a business owner or are you a volunteer in a few minutes after the break? But making sure that you are, that your business is making money is key in determining whether or not you're going to succeed or fail. Over 1 million businesses will start this year, and over 80% of them will fail within the first five. So it's important when you have something that works, like the Profit System, Profit First System does, it's important to share that information. My son Brandon and I are going to be doing a presentation on this at the Crown Trophy Annual Franchisee Meeting. I've talked to a lot of people about it, and I've talked to people that work within businesses, and what I'm getting is a little bit of pushback, like, well, I don't know, I don't understand it, I don't know what it is. This is one of those times when you got to take a leap of faith with me and say, I'm going to do it. It's not going to cost you anything, and you're not going to lose money, but it's an opportunity for you to make money. So we'll get into Profit First a little bit more. I'd love for you to read the book first, whether you do it on a Kindle or you buy the hardcover or paperback edition. There's a lot of great information in here, and it will literally transform the way you do business. So again, the book is called Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. Hopefully you can pick up a copy before the June 7th so that you can follow along. But if you own a small business and you feel like no matter how hard you try, you just can't get ahead financially, Profit First Method is going to change that. This is Thursday, April 26th, 2018, and that's a pretty darn special day in the Gannot household. This is my wife and my 32nd anniversary today. There's a lot of people who probably couldn't stand to be with me for 32 minutes, 32 seconds. This woman has been with me for 32 years, so I thank her for that. Love her dearly, and looking forward to celebrating our anniversary tonight. Not sure what we're going to do. Could just be ramen noodles. We're not really sure, but you know, we didn't really talk about it this morning. So hopefully we'll be able to get out there and celebrate our anniversary. But love that woman to death, and looking forward to spending the next 32 years with her as well. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Got some sad news yesterday from a friend of mine, well, my cousin. One of his electricians from Hockenberry Electric, Dennis. If you know Dennis, he's a gamer online and things like that, and found out that he passed away from complications from surgery. He did all the electric in my business, and we became friends over the years. He's done a lot of the electric work in my house. Just a genuine great guy. So if you know the family, they're from Milford. By all means, you know, reach out to them and see if there's anything that they need. You know, just tragic and sad news that somebody so young, only 56 years old, could be gone from complications from surgery. You know, just very sad. Dennis Mungay from Hockenberry Electric. And then I found out this morning, my wife texted me when I was in the doctor's office, the third floor of a doctor's office building. She texted me to tell us that a friend of ours from California passed away a few weeks ago. We're just getting the news now. And again, just more sad news. So I was in the doctor's office saying, how hard do you think I would land from the third floor? Because both of those were from complications from some kind of a surgery. So not sure what's going on, but we got to clean this up. All right, so we're getting into the program now. I think what I'll do is I think I'll take our break just a little early because I do want to get into the business owner versus volunteer argument and set this up for you properly. So what I'm going to do is we're going to step away now, go to the break, and then when we come back, we're going to answer the question, or we're going to have you answer the question, are you a business owner or a volunteer? We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, as I am with you every week. Glad you could join me on the program. So I've had a lot of questions over the last 12 to 18 months from business owners, not just Crown Trophy owners, but a lot of business owners, all describing the same scenario. And it's not uncommon in a small business. And the problem isn't necessarily the business owner's fault. Sometimes it's the circumstances, but let me lay out what most people are describing to me. Customers are picking up product in the business, and they're expecting terms of net 30. And so they'll say, I'll get you a check next week, or you know, send you a credit card or something like that. And what happens is net 30 very quickly becomes net 45, net 60, net 90, and now we're actually seeing net 120 and beyond. 4 months to pay a bill. Now, if you ordered something from Amazon, you'd have to pay when you ordered. If you went to the grocery store, you would have to pay when you picked up your groceries. But with some businesses and having terms, a lot of times the terms kind of get extended through no fault of the owner. The customer takes it upon themselves to say, well, I don't have the money right now, or they forgot or something. If you're doing work on a purchase order, if it's a municipality, a lot of times it's, well, we mailed you the purchase order, you mailed it back, and then we had to get it in front of the town council, but they don't meet for 2 more weeks, so the timeline just gets extended. But your vendors are expecting you to pay on net 30 terms. So what's happening is a lot of business owners are coming to me, and they're telling me how hard they're working. They're working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week or more, and they're not able to pay themselves because their customers aren't paying them. So there's just not enough cash in the business. They have to pay their employees. They have to pay their vendors. And what's happening is a lot of times they have to take out loans. They have to take cash out 401ks. They're maxing out their credit cards. They're refinancing homes. They're borrowing from their children's education. They're borrowing from family members. But they still don't have enough to pay themselves. And that's part of what Profit First is all about. And so I had 3 business owners, and they were all telling me the same thing. I've missed 1 paycheck this year. I've missed 2 or 3 paychecks this year. One person hasn't taken a paycheck so far in all of 2018. So I asked the question. I said, you know what happens when you work 40, 50, 60 hours a week and you don't get a paycheck? You know what they call you? And a couple of them said, well, I'm a business owner. I own the business. I go, no. When you work that much time and you don't take a paycheck, you're called a volunteer. And that hurt. That hurt all 3 of them. But when I put it in those terms, and understand, I did the same thing to myself a few months ago. When I call them a volunteer, they're like, come on, Jim, you know how much I work. You know how hard. I said, trust me, I see it. I know how hard you're working. I see the hours you're putting in, the sales you're making. You're doing great. It's just that now, because you're in this financial pickle and you can't get out of it, it's just
that rabbit down the gerbil wheel. You're just going to keep running, and it's never going to correct itself. So now, I got them a little angry, and I wanted to on purpose because I had to get there too. I had to get just as angry because it made me make a change, and the change that I made was following the profit first system. And since we enacted this in the middle of March, what we're starting to see is that by taking the profit out of the invoice first and allocating that towards different buckets like taxes, like royalties, like owner's pay, an operating expense account, now all of a sudden I can watch those buckets grow, but every 2 weeks I get to see that I'm making money and that my paycheck will be there in 2 weeks. So I feel good about it, and I'm trying to get more and more people to adopt this formula. But so many people run out of one account where the money comes in and then the money goes out, but nothing is ever reserved for anything else. Talked to my accountant the other day. I had to pay $2,000 in sales tax on Monday. And, because we had been putting money into that account, I had no problem. We'll pay sales tax. In the past, couldn't always say that. And there were times in the past when I couldn't cash my paycheck because there just wasn't enough left in the kitty. Now that problem's gone. And so I'm going to get paid, and Brandon's going to get paid. All my employees are going to get paid. And it's almost to the point where we can forecast when and where we're going to have enough money in the owner's pay that we'll get paid for the rest of the year. That's a beautiful feeling. And we're not feeling like we're a volunteer anymore. And you actually start to get a mind shift and you say, wow, I really like, doing what I do again. This is fun again. And that's what I want to get to, is where everybody is enjoying what they do. You got into business, you opened a business for a reason. Now I want you to have that same feeling. But if you have that feeling on Sunday night, like, ugh, I got to go to work in the morning, and you have that sense of dread, Profit First can get rid of that for you, because you're going to want to go to work. You're going to want to see what money's been deposited in your account. You're going to want to make those distributions. And the one that's going to matter the most is when you see that bucket going up that says owner's pay, and you know, if you base it on a percentage of sales, if you know, like, this is my salary, you're going to get there. The master's course to Profit First is when you also pay yourself back the taxes that you've paid. So if you have a $45,000 a year salary, and let's say 25-30% of that comes out as taxes, you're going to pay that back to yourself over time. So I don't want you to be a volunteer in your own business. I want you to be the business owner. I want you to love what you do, and I don't want any businesses to fail. And the reason most businesses fail is they simply run out of money. Make sure that if you follow this program, if you even read it, if you have any questions, by all means, feel free to email me, call me, and discuss it, and I'll walk you through it. But make sure that your business is working for you and that you're not just volunteering your time and showing up every day, because that's called a hobby. That's not called work. Hey, checking in on Facebook Live, I want to say hello to John Knight out in Ohio. John, the proud papa of his daughter, recently got married. So congratulations on that, John. Thanks for listening. It's been a long time since John Knight listened to me on the radio back on WITB on the campus of Salem College. So always glad to see when John's checking in, and hope everything is doing well out there for you in Ohio. Oh, how did I say it? Ohio or something like that when they talk about Ohio State. Now, I want to talk to you about another problem that's happening, and it's happened, again, it's happened to my business, happened to a lot of businesses. And the question is, are small business owners protecting themselves from a cyber attack? Now, a lot of times when you hear cyber attack, we think of Atlanta, when the whole city was held for ransomware. Hospitals have been held for ransomware. 911 systems have been held for ransomware. And big corporations. We hear about hacks and data breaches and things like that, and we think that it can't happen to the small business owner, when in fact, it can probably happen even easier to a small business owner. Now, I personally, in my business, I do not keep anybody's credit card information. They'll say, just keep my card on file. I don't do it. We don't have any electronic storage means of anybody's credit information or anything like that. I refuse to do it. So if you hack me, chances are you're not going to get a whole lot. So now What can business owners do, and how likely are they to be attacked? So hackers are increasingly targeting small businesses, and few owners believe that they're actually at risk of an attack. But small businesses are the newest targets of hackers, given their size, lack of skilled staff, and minimal funds devoted to data defense. So how vulnerable are small business owners to a cyber attack? Well, Manta conducted a poll to gauge the risk and determine how you can safeguard your company from cyber attack. And the question was, do you feel you are at risk of experiencing a data breach? Only 13% of business owners said yes, while 87% said no. Now, any data breach, regardless of how small, is a real threat to a small business, which is why prevention tactics are essential. We got hit with ransomware last year, actually refused to pay it, bought a new computer because we had saved everything to Dropbox, and we were able to be back up and running within about 2 days. There were some files that were lost, but overall, I wasn't going to go chasing down Bitcoin or something else to pay some ransom and not have the guarantee that the files would have been restored in this, you know, in the first place. So, like I said, we had it happen. It really hurt us for a good period for about a week, and now we're back to full strength. But that's where small businesses, even something as simple as Norton antivirus software, Malwarebytes, things like that, you got to have some level of protection on your computer. Hey, just saw that Jessica Weaver checked in listening to the program. Jessica was a guest on the program a few weeks ago talking about her book, Strong Woman, Stronger Assets. And I actually have a customer for you, Jessica. We've referred her your information to her, so hopefully she'll get in touch with you in the next couple of weeks. And but glad to see that you're listening as well. And eventually we'd like to bring Jessica back onto the program because I think an hour wasn't enough to talk about her topics. But let's get back to the cybersecurity for a minute. So Holly Jo Anderson is the CEO and founder of Veritas Marketing, said that she had it happen to her many years ago, and it was unfortunate because passwords were accessed. And as she reflected on the data breach, she said, as a result, we now use a password encryption program called Password Safe. How many of your employees are changing their password on a monthly basis? When I worked in the insurance industry, we had to do it every 2 weeks. Now, while she's only one example of a small business owner who's experienced a cyber attack, her post-breach implementation of IT security controls shows that she now understands how crucial it is to take action. And that said, only 69% of small business owners have controls in place to prevent hacks, meaning that one in three small business owners have absolutely no safeguards in place. What are we talking about when we talk about safeguards? Antivirus software, firewalls, anti-malware, spam filters, and vulnerability scans. I use Malwarebytes. It does a scan overnight. It tells me if it finds any files. It quarantines them, and then we can get rid of them. But make sure that you're doing some form of antivirus protection. For George Tarter, who's the CEO and founder of Accrudo, a CloudSync software small business, antivirus software is at the center of his company's security prevention plan. We have antivirus software on every device used to access the internet, Tarter said. Securing our business-related accounts with a two-factor authentication is our usual practice to not let anybody gain access to our business information. Owners were also asked about their electronic device policies to broaden the security picture. Most small business employers, 70%, do not allow employees to use personal devices for work purposes, and 65% of owners do not offer a BYOD, or bring-your-own device, policy to workers. Tarter noted, however, he defies this statistic and embraces the bring-your-own-device trend at his small business. Our employees use their personal gadgets for work purposes, mainly to work with social networks and some other marketing-related services. Overall, with the growth in hackers targeting small businesses, owners should invest more heavily in cyber defense to prevent attacks, which can often be more crippling for a small business than a large corporation. So another way to look at this, and this came out a few years ago, if you are retaining customers' payment information, credit card information, and you have the card number, you have the expiration date, you have the CVV code, and that's somewhere electronically that someone can, that a hacker can access, the laws have been changed to say you are now responsible for the damages. So in the past, when the banks would waive any damages with credit cards, if they can figure out that it came from you, your business could be held up for the damages. So when my wife had her credit card stolen many years ago, within an hour, a person had racked up $10,000 in charges. Think about your business. Do you want to face a $10,000 repayment to a credit card company because of your careless bookkeeping practices or careless cybersecurity practices. So take a look at this, think about it, and at the very least, Norton antivirus software and Malwarebytes, very inexpensive. Backup data offsite so that it's not, sitting in a computer in your office, and hopefully that will give you the baseline of protection. 12:30, time to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about 7 ways that you can use images to make a big impact for your business. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He's going to have to answer for the millions of dollars in unnecessary security detail to places like Disneyland, Paris, Italy.
Many lawmakers questioning and criticizing the EPA administrator at a Capitol Hill hearing this morning, but Scott Pruitt says he's just the subject of a media smear campaign.
I'm not afraid to admit that there's been a learning process.
Pruitt being criticized for, among other things, overspending, including the expenditure of tens of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money for first-class air travel. President Trump says his original choice to be Veterans Affairs Secretary has been smeared.
These are all false accusations.
President Trump telling Fox News Dr. Ronnie Jackson's been treated in a disgraceful manner. Jackson has withdrawn amid allegations of workplace misconduct and inappropriate behavior. And this is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy and Crown Custom Apparel here in the borough of Flemington. So glad you could join me on this beautiful, Thursday afternoon here in Flemington. It's been a while since we've had some good weather, so we are welcoming it. All good stuff, and glad that you could join along and watch on the Facebook page and also listen to the live stream through Hunter and Chamber Radio. I have been working with a company to help me with my social media marketing. I've been doing my own social media marketing for years, but I always felt like if I'm at here, how do I get to here? So I hired this company out of Texas called Main Street Hub, and they've been helping me with sometimes less is more. Rather than making a long, wordy, 3-paragraph post, a couple of simple words. Need great trophies? Call Crown Trophy. Who knew it could be that simple? There's times when I look at their post and I'll say, that's the dumbest thing ever, but that'll get the most post engagement. So, because I'll say, well, it's not really telling a story about what we do. But as they do it over a series of a couple of days, all of a sudden it makes perfect sense. So images right now is the best way, to market your business. Posting an image on Facebook, posting an infographic, a video. Could be a minute to a minute and a half just explaining what you're currently working on, a new product or something like that, goes a long way with making people who right now have a very kind of a short attention span pay attention to your business. So good marketers know that a photo or video can make a fast and lasting impression. And I have 7 tips here that will help you use images to make that big impact for your business. And there's no arguing that visual content is important. Everywhere you turn, you'll find marketing images, whether it be on social media, on billboards, websites, print advertising. The right image conveys a message that words cannot and grabs a viewer's attention faster than text ever could. So this is where we get a little scientific on you. Neuroscientists discovered that the human brain processes images in about 13 milliseconds. That means your brain sees images 30 times faster than you can blink. Now, good marketers are aware of the power of using the right image, and about 74% of those marketing on social media cited visual assets as more important than blogs and videos. You can use images in a number of ways to make a large impact for your brand. Here are just a few. First, you want to use shareable images. Now, one thing you need to focus on is choosing images that are shareable. But exactly what does that mean? So put yourself in the shoes of someone who's actually browsing social media. What are the elements of the images you'd be likely to share? The image is usually crisp, high quality. It conveys a moment or some emotion to the user. It ties into the brand in a highly personal way. Now, take a look at some of the images that coffee giant Starbucks has on their Facebook wall. A picture of friends enjoying Starbucks drinks together is one that ties into the emotions of meeting up with friends. Other images include close-ups of various drinks. If you're thirsty and you see these photos, you might just stop in at your local Starbucks to grab a drink. The images are varied, but all are high quality and hit on a need or an emotion at that moment. Then we talk about videos and implementing that. Now, while planning out your visual content, don't overlook the power of images through video. On YouTube alone, about 500 million hours of video are watched every day. So this number doesn't include the number of videos watched on other sites such as Facebook. There's a reason marketers turn to videos, and you should think about where you can implement them on your site as well. Of course, don't add a video to add one. If it can explain a complicated concept quickly and easily, it's the perfect addition for your content. And again, a new product comes in, 30 seconds, a minute, minute and a half, invite people into the store, check it out on the website, goes a long way. It's also a good idea, if you're in a certain type of industry, to provide before and after pictures. Landscaping, construction, things like that, even hair care. So before and after pictures can work particularly well to trigger a response because they show the results of a product or service. Now, when you think about before and after photos, weight loss products likely come to mind. However, before and after images can be used by a wide variety of businesses to show how a product or service improves lives, homes, and businesses. These photos provide proof that your product actually works. So take a look at the photos featured on the Clopay website. The images highlight the way the company's garage doors add curb appeal to the outside of a home. By presenting the images side by side, you can see a seamless transition between what the garage door looked like before and after the addition of new doors. This image allows the consumer to picture the impact such a change would have on their own home. You also want to use custom images. Now, when possible, images specific to your brand should always be used. About 78% of consumers respond to custom content better than generic content because they see the company as being more trustworthy. Cameras aren't nearly as expensive as they once were, and many smartphones have the capability to take excellent quality photographs. Even if you're a small business without the resources to hire a professional photographer, you can take relevant images of your product in action and include them with other content. And make sure that your image is relevant. A photo of a cute puppy might get a lot of social media shares, but if it doesn't tie into your brand, then it's a wasted effort. So choosing a relevant image means finding one that enhances your content or summarizes it at a glance. Content that includes a relevant image is viewed by about 94% more often than content without an image. Adding images will also enhance your words. Now, in a news release on their website, Volkswagen shows that they understand the importance of including relevant images with content. Note that when talking about automated vehicles, they use an image that shows what such a vehicle might look like from behind the wheel. This strategy allows the user to process the basics of the content quickly, even if they are simply skimming through the post. You also want to create or provide or maintain brand awareness. I've talked about this 100 times on this show. Your brand has a message, and everything you put out there should work toward keeping its momentum going. If your company has a young, fun vibe, the last thing you want to do is add a bunch of serious images meant to create deep thinking. Those pictures would be fine for a company that already projects such an image. But if your focus is on millennials and you've always presented a fun side, putting out something else can be confusing to the consumer. And then offer visual guides. Now, some concepts are a bit complex, and breaking them down into visual form can make them more digestible. Infographics work well for this type of presentation. But you can also offer standard text content and then add in images that highlight important points for those who are scanning your page for ideas. Marketing guru Neil Patel brings a beginner's guide about online marketing to life by summarizing the core concept from chapters of the guide and adding images that highlight what the chapter is about. This work allows the reader to quickly locate the items that they are most interested in. And you have to have the right image to make a fast impression. The images you choose are processed more quickly by the human brain than any other content you put out there. It's vital that you select images carefully and that each one has a specific purpose. Even if an image is just to give the reader a break from blocks of text, you should still have a use for it beyond that. Images can have a big impact on how the user perceives your brand and on how often your content is shared. So follow those tips that I've just given you and make sure it's the impact that you want before posting. Never, ever, ever, I've said this 100 times, post for posting's sake. Always have a purpose, always have a plan, and always make sure that both the purpose and the plan support the brand. So there is the reason why images are so important in your social media marketing. Want to talk about something here because this can really have an impact on your business. I just want to make sure we're going to have the right amount of time to do it. So there's 4 decisions that can unexpectedly become costly business risks. And I want to go over that with you because sometimes we think or we plan and we don't think of the consequences. So taking business risks are wholly advisable and can add to your business's growth, but then there are perfectly normal and reasonable decisions that can actually hurt or even shutter your company. Now, even big established companies can sometimes take questionable actions and risks. And as you already know, if you ever heard a news report about a well-known company declaring bankruptcy or struggling with low sales, some decisions that upset a stable company are pretty obvious. Taking on a lot of debt can bankrupt a business. Not training your employees is another obvious risk. And you can expose yourself to business risk if you don't check references when you hire employees or contract workers like an accountant. Yet many companies take on strategies that don't appear chancy and still find themselves on a possible path to a premature end. Things like taking on a big client. Now, taking on a large client can be one of the business risks that hurt your company, even if it doesn't seem like it at the time. You take on a big client, you can estimate what the sales might be, but there are hidden risks. So the payoff can be great. The customer can quickly increase revenue and profits, but the risk is also large, says Dane Shuda, the owner of Eau Claire, Wisconsin's base Ghost Blog Writers. His company offers blogging services for businesses. Shuda says this is one of the business risks that he has thought about for some time, ever since he turned a design agency about 5 years ago. Great people, he says. On the surface, they seem to be doing well, and I'm sure they were. Then a few months after I was introduced to them, someone told me they went out of business. I asked how could that possibly have happened, and the person said the agency had lost its largest client. It seemed like overnight they went from comfortable to out of business. Ever since, Shuda has been careful about taking on too big of a client. I've turned down a few potential opportunities over the years that I knew were too big for our company. It may have been the wrong decision, he admits. Maybe, or maybe it was the right one. In any case, business owners who are worried about a big client leaving the company in the lurch one day would be wise to start looking for other larger customers or several medium-sized ones, and that way they aren't too reliant on one steady source of revenue. Not having an exit strategy is another decision that can impact your business. Not preparing for failure doesn't sound like the largest of business risks. If your company is doing well, why think about how to shut it down? But Jeff Schalk, who's the COO of Fellows Financial Group, a Leesburg, Virginia-based financial services firm that works with businesses and individuals, disagrees. He says business owners should have an executable exit strategy that they can go to if they want to retire or sell the company one day, or if the choice is to fold is voluntary. Most business owners are occupied running their businesses on a daily basis and don't take the time to consider an exit strategy or even recognize that they should be prepared with one to be sure everyone is on the same page and headed in the same direction, especially if they have partners. You probably aren't courting chaos if you simply want to retire, but you may have to delay retirement without a sound exit strategy. If something goes wrong with a business partner, not having an exit strategy isn't good either, according to Schalk, who has seen it all. The involuntary scenarios create the most chaos within a company when the plans aren't well established and executed. Launching a new product can also have a major impact. As far as business risks go, introducing a new product doesn't sound like a gamble at all. It sounds smart. And while it can be, it could also blow up in your face, according to Deborah Sweeney, who's the CEO of My Corporation, a website service located in Calabasas, California, that helps new businesses incorporate and file trademarks. So how can launching a new product hurt a company? It can be expensive and time-consuming and can leverage a significant amount of resources. Like taking a loan, it can be costly. She acknowledges that often without risk, there is no gain, so she isn't counseling any business owner to not launch a new product or service. And then finally, making your reputation part of your business's appeal. Now, this may sound crazy to solopreneurs who very much want clients to know that if they come to them, they'll be paying for superior expertise. But it can backfire if you're trying to grow your business, as Chris Jarvis, the founder of Jarvis Tower, a financial consulting firm out of Southlake, Texas. You use large companies all the time and may have never known the founders. But before you knew the household name of the company, you had to rely on something or someone. And this can become one of those harmful business risks when it affects your company's ability to scale. I've had companies where my name was in the company name. I used my reputation to build those firms. But that was a bit of a prison sentence because it is hard to escape the fact that those clients will want to work only with you. And the fifth decision that can really hurt your business, paying your employees too much money. Yes, you should pay your employees what they're worth and keep them happy. It's good business. Still, Kim Yancey, who's the co-founder and president of the businesswoman community eWomen Network, says that he and his wife, Sandra, once made a big mistake overpaying two salespeople. They each received a $100,000 annual salary plus commission, but they never delivered. Why would they? They were already making $100,000. Both of those two people were very capable and came with proven success, but the high salary took away their sales urgency and energy to close deals. So those are the options or the reasons why sometimes making a business decision can have a negative impact on your business. Don't grow too fast. Don't introduce a new product that hasn't been thoroughly vetted and tested. And definitely don't overpay your employees. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Going to take a break, and then we'll wrap it up this afternoon right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
You look lucky dog you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. My name is Jim Gano. I'm the owner of Crown Trophy and Crown Custom Apparel here in Flemington and the host of this here program, Rock Cheer. So glad you could join us and do it again next week when we'll have Stacey Green from Anderson House in studio to discuss Anderson House 20th anniversary, helping women in recovery from addiction and celebrating their 20th anniversary this year. So glad that she could join us. Emails. I get a lot of questions via email about email marketing. Some people don't know how to do it, don't know when to start it, what to say. If they start, they stop too soon. And really, once you start email marketing, you've made that commitment. If people are opting in for a newsletter or something, you've got to produce the content. So engaging your email subscribers over the long term is key to the success of your small business's digital marketing strategy. You want to email regularly, but without irritating your customers. Very fine line. Advised Jonathan Lean, who's an email marketing manager for Manta. Every business subscriber list is different. The best way to find your sweet spot is to learn from what you've done already, said Lean. And if you haven't been emailing, be prepared to track and learn. There are standard metrics for measuring that engagement, thereby gauging the success of any email marketing campaign that your company launches. These analytics should already be available through your email service provider dashboard. You want to know the open rate, the number of people on your subscriber list who open your company's emails, expressed as a percentage. Calculate your open rate by dividing the number of emails opened by the total number of emails sent in a given campaign. The click-through rate, the number of email recipients who click through links in your email to visit your company website. Email marketing firm Constant Contact defines CTR as the percentage of click-throughs for a particular email based on the number of contacts who actually opened the email. Click-to-open rate, also known as the effective rate, measures how effective your email content is in driving your subscribers to click the links included with your messages. To calculate your CTOR on an email message, divide the number of unique clicks by unique opens and multiply by 100. The mean CTR for commercial emails sent by U.S. companies is 3%. And the mean CTOR is 11.8%, according to SilverPop's Marketing Metrics Benchmark Study. The success measurement you'll benchmark against depends on the goal of a given email campaign that your business launches. The goal of your campaign will vary by the action you want a recipient to take, said Lean. Do you want them to open and read your newsletter? Set a goal of increasing your open rate. Go after the goal by trying new subject lines to increase opens. Want them to follow you on Facebook? Challenge yourself by setting a goal of X number of new followers. Try different messages in your email to obtain them. In most cases, you want to know how effective your email campaign is, Lean said. He bases much of his campaign analysis on CTOR as measured by the built-in tracking for opens, clicks, and unsubscribes through Salesforce Marketing Cloud. Like the Salesforce service, most, if not all email servers or service providers or ESPs will have some form of tracking included. If you're looking for an ESP, be sure to research their tracking tools and find out which one works best for you. Along with their tracking, most ESPs will have built-in tools that turn your email numbers into pretty graphs and charts. Some are more user-friendly than others. Once you've mastered the analytics, you'll move on to the next challenge. How can you tweak your emails to achieve an even stronger campaign result? To improve your open rates, be recognizable to your recipients by sending from an address that identifies your business. Write subject lines that will be useful or interesting to the people receiving your messages. Avoid too many trending keywords, excessive punctuation, and all caps if you want to avoid email spam filters. To improve your CTR, click-through rate, marketing consultant Smart Insights publishes a comprehensive tip sheet for achieving better CTR. Strategies include giving email readers one simple call to action, but providing multiple links to the same landing page on your company website. And to improve your CTR, your goal in improving CTR here is to boost the overall engagement among your subscribers. Test what's working and what isn't by running an A-B split test using different versions of the same basic email. Consider composing more targeted newsletter-type emails rather than strictly promotional pitches. These metrics are useful because they will help you improve your messaging and ideally convert your subscribers into loyal customers and clients. Measuring your email campaign success is about more than numbers. It's about building a relationship between your company and your customers in a way that is useful, inviting, and easily accessible for them. So again, when it comes to email marketing, This one is one that's kind of important. A lot of people, when they're asking me what to put, they say, well, I want to sell this, and I want to sell that, and I want to sell that. You don't always have to sell. In fact, probably sell maybe 20% of the time. Just inform them. Tell them what's going on in your company. Tell them what's happening in the industry, any new trends that are coming about, any products that you think are going to be, you know, a great one a few years ago would have been when fidget spinners first came out. That would have been, look what's coming, you know, make sure you get in on this hot trend before, and now you don't see fidget spinners anymore. So you want to make sure that you're informing, also add a little bit of personal information about yourself. A lot of people are hesitant to do that, but it helps because once the customer feels they know you and can trust you, then they'll want to do business with you. So not a bad idea to include that. Just a reminder, next week we have Stacy Green from Anderson House joining us on the program. On June 7th, we have Mike Michalowicz, author of the book Profit First, on the program. Listening in today was Jessica Weaver, who was on the program back on April 5th. Jessica is the financial planner helping women going through transition of divorce or death of a spouse get their finances in order. So make sure you pick up a copy of her book on Amazon called Strong Woman, Stronger Assets. And again, Profit First for the June 7th program. Mike will, in a humorous way, be able to educate you on how to make your business work for you. Remember what we said at the top of the program. Are you a business owner or a volunteer? Until you're getting paid on a regular basis, you're a volunteer. Don't be a volunteer. In sports, in NASCAR news last Saturday, it saw Kyle Busch win his third race in a row at Richmond Raceway.
Richmond?
Rich what?
Richmond.
Rich what?
Richmond.
Rich what?
Richmond.
Where we from?
Richmond.
What's my hometown?
Richmond.
Where we live?
Richmond.
Rich what? Oh, Richmond.
From the movie Coach Carter, it's the scene where they talk about Richmond and Kyle Busch winning the race last week, the Toyota Owners 400. This week, the teams travel to my favorite racetrack, Talladega Super Speedway, for the Geico 500 on Sunday. In other NASCAR news, happy news, it was announced yesterday that veteran driver Matt Kenseth will return to NASCAR racing, this time for Jack Roush as part of Roush Fenway Racing, in a part-time role in as many as 18 races and split the driving duties with Trevor Bayne in the number 6 car. In Major League Baseball, the 2018 Major League Baseball season is underway. The Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions in the American League, while the Mets, Brewers, and Diamondbacks lead their division in the National. In the NBA and NHL, the playoffs continue, and we'll follow these more closely as we get closer to the finals. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to WHCR-DB. HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today, President Donald Trump welcomed wounded warriors and their family members to the White House. The president took the opportunity to say, "We will not forget about families and folks who were hurt on the battlefield."
My pledge to you, our noble warriors, is that my administration will support you and your loved ones and your amazing families every single day, now and always.
Dr. Ronnie Jackson, President Donald Trump's embattled pick for the Veterans Affairs Secretary, withdrew his nomination earlier today. Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers explains why she is concerned that Jackson withdrew his name for consideration.
And I respect his decision just to pull out. I am concerned that the left is putting politics ahead of what's best for the country. And there's so many, there's the VA position, Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for Blue Blocker Sunglasses. How good are Blue Blockers? First, America's astronauts use the same blue blocking formula in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million. They're as stylish as sunglasses costing hundreds more. They look